Welcome. I'm excited that I get to speak to you in English. I don't need to worry about if I pray to the Almighty God that I'm not getting the tones wrong and I'm praying to the big woman in the sky. Or that if I'm mentioning the God of the universe, I don't have to worry if I get my tones wrong when I speak Thai and I'm praying to the God of the bicycle. And so as Gerald said, it was 22 years ago that I went to Thailand with wanting to be single and serve God overseas. And I was there about a month and we went on a prayer and fasting retreat. And during worship, I heard God speak very loud and clear. I had to open my eyes to see who else had heard. And he said that your husband would come through the International Fellowship. And I really didn't want to get married. And I spent the next month, Thai has a really nice word. It's not arguing or fighting, but it's a really nice dialoguing of with God of how I didn't want to. But in the end, I said, all right, God, whoever you want. And so now I have my husband will be joining later this month, and I have two sons. So the single I accomplished for the first part, and serving God I've been able to do for the rest of the time. One thing that is interesting to notice when you look at the history of God moving throughout the nations, Pastor Peter, and he's a long Japanese last name, came and shared, he's living in Israel right now, and he shared how really the gospel has a go west young man theme. And he was sharing how in Acts, when Paul gets his Macedonian call, he's coming from the south, and he wants to go to Asia, and God says, no, don't go to Asia. And he's saying, well, where do I go? And God says, go to Macedonia, which is go west. And if you look at the end of the book of Romans, Paul's desire is to go to Spain. And so that's still furthering west. And those barbarians of the north that they talk about in Acts is where the gospel first went, which is modern-day Europe. And it took the gospel almost 1,000 years to get down to the grassroots level. And it, like, people would spend 200 years building a church for their children and grandchildren to be able to attend. And then the missionaries or the people from Europe went to the Americas. And that's where 300-400 years it took to get the gospel down to the grassroots levels. And now it has gone west to Asia. And I'm sure most of you have heard of the largest churches in the world. Most of them are in Korea, and some have moved to Africa. And so it's moving west. And when Pastor Peter came to Thailand, he was saying, like, we're waiting for you. Because as you follow the globe around, it comes from Asia. And he was saying how each time it's getting shorter and the time is getting quicker. And Korea only took a couple decades, where, you know, North America took a couple centuries. But it's interesting that many of the Muslim nations, they're so anti-Israel and anti-West. But it's almost like God's strategy. He's raising up the Chinese who are doing the Silk Road and those who are going to come in from the East and get them when they're not looking. And it's just really neat to see what God is doing. And so many in Thailand, and all the church is very small, it's had to persevere a lot. And so there is a certain depth there. But it's like we know the time for Thailand is soon. And we know that God's strategy is good. And so we've heard different people come and pray, and or just people who are praying for missionaries down the road would share dreams or pictures that God has given to them. And so we're anticipating something. But we know for a nation that's been Buddhist for thousands of years, it might take some shaking. And I anticipate before my next visit back that you'll probably receive news that the king of Thailand will pass away. And if I talk about that in Thailand, I could be put in prison. But it's Canada, so. But anyways, and when you hear that news, I would just ask if you remember just to pray for the citizens of Thailand, because they have looked to the king for all their answers, and he's like the father of the nation. And he is one who, if there's economic trouble, if there's political trouble, if there's coups, if there's whatever, they always look to the king. Or, you know, even if you don't have enough rain, the king, you know, has his jets that he'll feed the clouds. And so the king's been a good father of the nation. But his son has not followed his footsteps, and we're not sure the monarchy will continue. And so there'll be a lot of shaking, and there's a lot of political unrest. And sometimes the red shirt, yellow shirt conflict makes international news. And so just when you hear when the king passes away in Thailand, if I could encourage you just to pray, that'll be a really key time when Thais are looking for something, someone to put their trust in. And those who know a little bit about Buddhism, Buddhism doesn't have a spiritual power. The power behind Buddhism is in Hinduism. And in every Buddhist temple, there is a Hindu Holy of Holies, is what I've been told. And so the spiritual power is actually from Hinduism. And so it's just a common saying is like to be Thai is to be Buddhist, or to be Buddhist to be Thai, and that the two are so related. And so for a group of people to change their identity, it almost feels like they're being disloyal. To change their religion, it's almost like they're being disloyal to the nation. And statistically, I think they say like there's 1.6% Christian in Thailand. And from the research and data that we've gathered, that's actually not true, but that's what they have to say statistically because of the way the nation is. But the one, like the one people group that we work with, a Karen, or Karen as it looks in English, through prayer and fasting, they now 30% of that whole district is Christian, and it's just really encouraging. Whenever I go there or speak, I always feel like my dad's barns are built better than their houses, just, you know, for letting the wind in and the cold in. And when it gets down to 5, 10 degrees, people start to freeze because there's no internal heating. And I have to, when I came and saw my dad's barn this time, I noticed that there was a microwave there and a dishwasher in there. And so really, they are. In fact, people have dishwashers in Thailand. I think I maybe know 3 in the whole nation. So it's just, we're not quite as developed as Canada. What I plan to do is just tell you some stories of my experience there and to share a variety of stories, and hoping that one of my stories will be able to touch you or touch your heart in some way that can be applicable to you. I would just like to pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, and we just want to invite you here to speak to us as we listen to the different stories of what you've done in people's lives. And we just want to commit this time to you so that we can be more effective in loving God and loving people. In Jesus' name. Thank you for reading from Acts. In Acts 3, it talks about times of repenting so that times of refreshing may come. And one of this part of the talk I had prepared for someone else, somewhere else I had to give, and so some of it might be a bit repeat for those who are there, but holding unforgiveness in our hearts has different effects in our lives. And I just want to tell you some stories of people who, when they were confronted about different issues, when they chose to forgive, how that affected their life or their land or their relationships or their finances. Some will be personal stories, some will be corporate stories, but every story I tell you is one that I was either participated in, or the person who is prayed for or doing the praying told me, except one. And so this district that's 30% Christian now, it's called Om Goi, and the pastor's wife was teaching and sharing, and she was doing the sermon that day because her husband was off preaching at another village. And she just shared on you know, there are things we don't have right in our lives. Let's just get before God and ask God to forgive us. And maybe there's our neighbor we haven't forgiven. And just let's deal with the things that need to be dealt with. And let's get before God and ask for forgiveness on the things that we know are wrong. And after they did that, within an hour, it started to rain. And the land was so dry. And they had been needing that rain for a long time. And it was just so encouraging them to see that when they spent that time on dealing with the forgiveness and the issues in their own heart, that they could see the land and the rain coming down. Pastor Vuni, he's a pastor in Fiji, and at one point had a minister of reconciliation position on the national government, and he came to Thailand. And if any of you have seen Transformation and Let the Sea Resound is his story of what took place in Fiji. And just one story there was on one of the islands, an Australian missionary went and they cannibalized him. And so after a couple years, sorry, it's about 200 years later, the nation, that island, finally came to know Jesus, that village. But the water was so polluted and there wasn't enough food and things like that. And so Pastor Vuni, working on reconciliation, worked with these tribal group, and they invited the relatives of the missionary to come to that place because they wanted to ask for forgiveness. And all the family members that came from Australia, none of them are Christian, but they were willing to come and take part. And the tribal people there, they had wrapped themselves up in a chain and basically said, by killing your relative and eating him, we have brought a curse on our land and we have put ourselves in bondage, and will you forgive us? And they had all the different tribal leaders saying, will you forgive us? And as they did that, they took the chains off. And Pastor Vuni was sharing with us that a year later, the water going through their part was clear, and fish had started coming back, and there was real healing on the land when they got rid of the wrong bloodshed that they had put there. And he was telling this story up in Nunavut. And so they did some reconciliation that was needed there. And then he asked the people, what do you need? And they said, well, we need caribou. And he said the next day there were 10,000 caribou there. And the people were just so excited when they could see that when they got things right on their part, God was able to do his part in nature. Personal story is we had been renting a house since my sons had started the school that we were going to, and we were living in the area. And the landlord came and kicked us out and said, I want to move in, you got to move out. And we were looking for a house, and as we came across one, we found one on a Saturday, and Sunday morning Mom had sent me an email saying that Grandma, who died 2 years ago, your share of the inheritance after tithe was just what they were asking for, a down deposit. So I thought, looks like God's showing that he wants us to buy the house. And so we went through the process of buying it, but a couple months later, the house wasn't quite finished, so we had to do some things to it. And a couple months later, I told my sons, we have more months than money. And so in Psalms 133, it says, if you dwell in unity, then God will command his blessing. So I told my sons that they need to be in unity. And whenever there started to be a disagreement, all I had to say was, I don't want to fast. And I guess they didn't want to fast either, because they reconciled really quick. But then I'd heard a speaker. He'd come from Singapore, and he shared that he has an international ministry, and when his finances start to go down, that he would say, God, who have I not forgiven? So I asked God, who have I not forgiven? And God reminded me of the landlord, and just the process of the way he kicked us out really bothered me. And I guess I hadn't dealt with that. And so when God said, you know, you haven't forgiven him, I thought, I would say, okay, I forgive him. But I had to work through it. It was harder than I thought. And it wasn't until I went back to when I was sitting at the Vancouver airport on the way to go to Thailand my very first time, and I'd never been there. And I was reading from Genesis 12, what the promise that God gave to Abraham about leave your country and family, and I will bless you. And whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And I'd never seen that, whoever curses you, I will curse. But I thought, okay, God, I can trust you in this. And then I was able to forgive him. So I forgave him, and the next time we went to the bank, there was more money in the account than I'd taken out. And it took us 3 weeks to find out how it got there, but it was just, so we saw the immediate release of the finances when I chose to forgive the landlord. And the house was an ideal house and really close to the school in a good location, and people would call and say, oh, I've heard you move, can I have the number of the landlord? And again, you know, do I give it to them and whatever? And so I said, sure, because I'll put it into God's hands. And you know, for 2 years, they couldn't rent that house. And then after 2 years, the people who ended up renting it, part of the reason they wanted to kick us out was to raise the rent from 7,000 to 35,000 baht. And in the end, they only ended up with 10. And so anyways, I could see how God would bless those who bless us, and those who chose not to, he could take care of. And it was just really interesting to see. In Thailand, there's a lot of idolatry. And we had one friend, when Thais come to Jesus, they remain Christian so much longer if we can deal with the gods that they had already worshipped and made covenants with. And so we go through and ask them to deal with it and break with it and let them experience God. And there was one friend, she was so hungry for God and the true God that we'd had a list at that time of 186 different occult practices or Hindu gods or different things that you could worship or go to for spiritual power and help. And she was so hungry for God that she added to the list. But anyways, but when she found Jesus, she stopped looking and she had found what she had was searching for. And she's just a really neat person and just an evangelist who's just going out and telling her neighbor and her friend and just telling the good news of Jesus, and it's so neat. Well, we were helping some others go through this, and at the end of the time, we just asked them, you know, if there's any places on your body that are hurt or in pain or not doing well, you know, just put your hand there and we'll just pray, because sometimes the covenants that they've made with their former gods stops the healing that God wants to do. And so this one lady, she had a tumor. We didn't know this at the time, but after our session, she was going to go have her tumor operated on. But, well, when she confessed her different things with the idolatry and occult, and then we just prayed for her, she felt a warmness in the area of that tumor, and the tumor left, and she never had to have the surgery. And so that was very encouraging to see. There was another, it's very common to have maids there, and one of our friends had a maid who wanted to turn to Jesus, but whenever it came time to get baptized, she got so sick, she could not get baptized. And so after I took her through this, then, and she forgave and asked for forgiveness from God for the things that she had done in her past, then when it came time for the baptism, it was very easy, and she was set free from that. She had also had an abortion, and she'd been wanting and wanting to have a child. And so we went through the forgiving yourself and dealing with the different issues and forgiving the guy involved. And after that, she was able to conceive. And it was just very encouraging to see what God could do. One of the ladies in the church, she kept having a miscarriage and miscarriage. She had a beautiful daughter, but she kept having many miscarriages. So they send her to me, and we meet together and talk. And through our conversation, God highlighted the fact that when she was young, she had brothers, and they teased her mercilessly. And as one day she said, "Why don't everyone have a son? If, you know, if brothers are this bad, you know, I just don't want to have a son because of all I have to put up with." And when she realized that, and then she asked for forgiveness for that, and she, because now she'd met a wonderful guy, and she wants to give him a son, but she had released, so she asked for forgiveness for those words that she had spoken, and she was able to carry that son to full term. And now he's a little three-year-old running around the church and just bringing joy to the family. There was a high school student who came to me, and she was just dealing with depression. If you looked at her on the outside, you think, you know, she's on this committee or that committee and doing well, but she was dealing with depression, and through our conversation, it just came up, just her and her relationship with Mom wasn't so good. And so we prayed through and dealt with that and forgave Mom. And she was able to be set free from that and do well. And she's done so well. She's got a full ride scholarship to U of BC. And she's a Thai, and so that was really neat. And there was one lady, she's Thai, and I was very impressed with what she did. Her daughter had Asperger's, and someone had just, in listening to her and her story, just dealing with one of the spiritual roots of Asperger's is that the woman is in charge of the home instead of the man. And that was true in this situation, because Mom was Christian and Dad was lazy and letting her do all the work and was a Buddhist and rather enjoying the fact that he didn't have to go to work and his wife was doing everything. And she was confronted with this, and so she stepped back and let him take over. And the day that they prayed, within a week, the daughter's scores at school went to normal. But when I saw her, it had taken a year to get her social skills developed back, because that is learned behavior. And just another story-wise, there was a Cambodian married to an American. And she was doing dishes, and her husband was out for a walk talking with God. And as she's doing dishes, God says, "You haven't forgiven your husband for this." And she said, "All right, God, I choose to forgive my husband for this one area." And not long after that, her husband came running in and said, "Hey, you know, I've been wanting to know what I should do about this one problem. I've been asking God for the different things. Well, God just answered me." And she saw the connection, how sometimes our unforgiveness holds other people in bondage. And once she forgave her husband, he was able to get the direction from God that was needed. And there was a Thai who had a Buddhist dad living in Toronto, and he had went through some hard times with his dad. And when he chose to forgive his dad, when they checked out the time and everything later, it was at that same time that his dad was released to become a Christian in Toronto. And so the power of forgiveness is something that I think many of us don't realize. And one of our teachers, he had an opportunity to pray for someone's leg, and it wasn't right, and she was in the wheelchair, and he prayed for the leg, and it was normal, and then it was short again, and it happened, and finally he said to the lady, "I think you need to forgive your husband." And she says, "No, I won't. I'd rather have a crippled leg and sit in this wheelchair and let my husband serve me. I've served him for so many years." And he was just shocked. Like, why would you want to be crippled in this instead of enjoy the freedom that God gives? And all you have to do is forgive. But she chose to hang on to her illness instead of forgiving. And it was just a really good reminder. And he tells many of the students that story. Our best man, he had a rash on his leg. And it wasn't going and nothing the doctors do could help. And when someone was praying for him, they sensed, I think you need to forgive your mom. He said, yeah, there's probably lots I need to deal with mom. And so he wrote mom a letter because he was in Thailand at the time and wrote mom a letter and just, mom, I forgive you for all these different things. And through that whole reconciliation process, the rash on his leg, the wound on his leg healed right up. And that skin disease. And it was just really neat to see that when we do our part, it releases God to do his. A really good friend of mine who has taught me a lot about praying and how to minister. We were praying together and she had to forgive her pastor. And when she did that, her blood pressure went back to normal. And like she'd had the problem for 5 or 6 years. And the very next day, her blood pressure was normal. And a couple months later, her husband was in a very serious accident. And that normally would have triggered her blood pressure. But because she got the root cause dealt with, it was just very encouraging to see what God could do when we release him to do that. And there, just another personal story. There were times that my sons, right now they're fine young men, but there was a period where one of them had made some wrong decisions. And I was telling someone that I'm carrying this grief about my son's wrong decisions. And they said, well, yeah, that's what Proverbs 10:1 says. A mother grieves over, you know, a son's wrong decision. And I'm thinking, that's true, but how do I deal with it? Like, it's still there. And one day, as I was walking to school, it was almost, you know, like a thunderbolt from heaven in a sense to disperse the dark clouds of grief from over me. And it just says from that Isaiah 53 verse, he carried my grief. And that was so comforting. And that was so encouraging for me. And just how I could give it to him to carry. And so for that season, whenever I felt those clouds of grief or whenever I felt that darkness, I could just take it to him and say, here's my grief. It's too heavy for me. And just the communication that I've had with Gerald and Pat, and just hearing all the different funerals that the church has been through or what the pastor is going through right now, I just want to take this time to encourage you that if you're feeling any grief or when you feel it, just to remember that he has carried our grief and we can bring it to him and he can help us get through that. And I'll just close with one story about Nok. She's one from this Ong Goi district. She was born, her dad was Thai, her mom was Karen. And after a season, her dad said, I don't like this life anymore. I don't like having a tribal wife, and just left the family. There was mom and two daughters, and he went down to the lower land out of the hill tribes and married a Thai. And then later when she was 5 years old, her mom has a new boyfriend. And wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. So when we were up at the Hill Tribes teaching, she was confronted with just to deal with the father issues in her life. And as we get right reconciliation with her dads, then it enables us to relate to Father God better. And so she went and she was saying, after she experienced God's love, she was saying, okay, I'm able to forgive my dad. And then after we left, she had an opportunity to meet her dad, and her and her sister went to her dad and washed her feet and basically said, Dad, will you forgive me? Because she said, I really wasn't a good daughter because she was more tomboyish, didn't want to wear a skirt and everything that she was supposed to for that culture. But she also got involved in drugs. And not only was she doing drugs, but she was selling them, and it wasn't a very good lifestyle. So she asked Dad for forgiveness. And when she was doing that, washing Dad's feet, Dad looked at her and said the words that she'd been longing to hear all her life. Her dad said, "Will you forgive me for leaving you and your mom and running off?" And it just released her, and it just brought such a joy, and she was able to reach out to so many others. When she was on drugs, there was a point when the prime minister at the time did a real crackdown on drugs, and a lot of middlemen ended up getting shot, and the UN came and went to investigate and stuff. But during that time, that church in that neighborhood gathered up all those who were on drugs and said, "If you are serious, we will help you." And she was one who was serious, and the church helped her to get off drugs and to come to Christ. And it's just a really neat story that she has. Well, this last time we were there, she was so she's Christian, she's good relationship with dad, and as the lady who came, the team leader, was sharing, she really felt she needed to forgive mom. And she shares this story of, she's about 5-6 years old, and mom is going off on the motorbike with a friend, and grandma's saying, "Mom's going, mom's never going to come back." And so this frightened 5-year-old is running after mom on the motorbike saying, "Mom, mom, come back." And mom and the boyfriend eventually stop, and she's running, and, you know, "Mom, stop for me." And she's running up to mom, and when she gets to mom, what does mom do? Mom slaps her really hard on the face. Just that shock, that hurt, that wound. And at as young as 5 years old, she had to say, "Okay, I have to be independent. I have to take care of myself. My mom doesn't care about me. My dad's gone." And when she was able to forgive her mom for that, and saying, from Psalms 27:10, it says, "When mom and dad forsake me, God will be there," and basically fill up the part that they couldn't. And she was willing to let God bring healing there. It's just been amazing. Many of the villagers up there have experienced so much abuse within their families. And it's just been so neat to see, as they work through the power and work through the forgiveness and releasing their parents and turning to God to meet their issues, it's just been really transforming. And as the people see that God is able to bring healing when they forgive, or God's able to restore the relationships or to bless them, because they see a tangible effect of what is happening, more and more of them are willing to say, "Yes, we want this God, we want this Jesus." And so today I just want to close in prayer. I would like to just give you a couple moments just to search your hearts to see if there's anyone or some that you haven't forgiven, or you know that there's an unforgiven issue, or if you're carrying grief, whether it's about a family member, for whatever reason. I just want to take a couple moments and let you search your heart for that, and then I'll close in prayer and I'll turn it back to you, Joe. So let's just come before God. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love us so much. I thank you that you have good plans and good purposes for our lives. I thank you that you have given us tools that we can use to enable us to love God and to love people better. And if there is someone in our lives right now that we need to forgive, I pray that we would experience enough of you and your promises and your love and your promises in our lives, that we'll have the grace that's needed to forgive these people for whatever they might have done in our lives. And I just thank you that you, by doing that, we can release your blessings in our life. And Father, for those who may be carrying grief for whatever reason, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for coming. And I thank you for the fact that you have carried our grief. And we just As a church, we just want to pray for the pastor right now that you will help him and that you will carry his grief for him through this season, that he will be able to deal with everything that he needs to do as he is traveling to meet with his family. I thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.